It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watch update fixes battery drain. Possible Apple Watch import ban is looming. Behind the scenes of Apple's Scary Fast event. Incredible list of health features coming soon to Apple products. An Apple Ultra Watch recovers from months in a lake. And a man's simple iPhone 15 Pro Max order gets more than he bargained for. Plus reviews of Apple fine woven iPhone case and Time Porter Band Valet from 12 South. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch. Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Well, thanks, Tom. It's great to be here. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute, as they say.
Yes.
We had our tips show, which was pre-recorded last show. So it's been a good 3 or 4 weeks here.
Yes, sir.
And it's just the two of us, by the way. Vincent is out this week. So it's just you and me holding down the fort, as they say. Yeah, in fact, I kind of flubbed the opening line there. I kind of forgot for a moment what we do here at the show. So, it's been a while. Apple's done a few things since we've been gone. Mm-hmm. Real quick, though, I wanted to do an update on, because I know I talked about this on not the last show, but the previous one, about Double Tap. Because it's now available for everyone in watchOS 10.1. And I was able to get it. Was able to get it to work while running. That's something I talked about last time, was it wouldn't work when I was running. But I've noticed it's something you have to practice the technique.
You do.
Yeah. So trying to hold your wrist as still as possible when running takes a little getting used to, but it will work. It's just not as easy as I hoped, you know, it would work without having to raise to wake and all of that and keeping still. And it kind of reminds me of this, dating myself again here, but of running with the very first iPod. and because it had a small physical spinning hard drive in it that would skip if you bumped it around. So you couldn't just put it in your pocket. You had to run with it in your hand to like steady it, you know, shock absorb
right,
it.
Right, right.
While you ran to listen to the music without skipping. But we've come a long way, haven't we?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I was at an outdoor event last night. It was kind of chilly. It was probably in the high 30s. And I was pretty bundled up. And I was doing Double Tap.
Nice. You know? Yeah.
You know, I was trying to get my watch from underneath my, you know, heavy coat sleeve. And I had gloves on, you know, and a hat and everything. And I was like, okay, can I do this? And I was doing it. And it's great for texting and messaging, you know, and then verbalize the text and send it. I mean, like, you don't have to do anything.
Okay. That's another question. I'll have to test this. Raise to wake. Does it work if you have a sleeve over your wrist and you don't actually look at it? Does it still wake?
Yeah. Well, I would do the old push my arm out so the watch was exposed and raise it.
Okay.
It would wake right up.
But you see what I'm getting at? Is it light? It's not light ambient sensor telling it to wake up. It's just the motion, right?
I believe it's the motion.
So if I'm listening to music and I'm wearing a long sleeve over my wrist, over my watch, if I just make the motion of raising to wake without actually looking at the watch, I could double tap to change the song, couldn't I?
I would guess you can.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, weather's getting cooler here, at least in Houston. I'll be able to try that out here. Not too long from now, because we've had quite the warm spell here. Just now getting a little cool, but I'm going to test that out. I want to see.
Check it out because I said it very confidently without really knowing. So you know they say you fake it till you make it.
Yeah, exactly. So I also wanted to mention. Have you had a chance to? And I'm sorry. Listening to this show, I'm going to get off on a little bit of tangent here, but I forgot to ask you, have you listened to the new Beatles song?
I have not.
Okay. So since we were last together on this show, the Rolling Stones have a new album and the Beatles have a new song. Is this not crazy? What year is it?
I know.
Yeah, and the Beatles have just charted number one again.
Yes.
60 years from their first one. That's insane. Anyway, there's a like a whole making of little video about how they did this with AI. It's pretty cool.
That's nuts.
There's a tech side to this, and the what they did with this song, this demo track that I think John Lennon had laid down back in 1980, I think.
Oh my gosh.
On his piano in his apartment, just banging the piano with a little cassette player, and you can hear all the background stuff going on, you know, all the noises in the apartment, all that stuff. And they're able to pull his voice out and just make it beautiful. And
certainly. Certainly. Yes.
Unbelievable what they can do with that tech. Peter Jackson, I think, was involved in doing that. So,
well, certainly we've had a long strike in our entertainment world. And I think that's one of the last sticking points has been the AI element of you know, the entertainment professional.
Right. Yeah. So. And this is not. Well, I guess in a way it is an AI creating something out of thin air. It's AI enhancing something.
Yeah, it's more taking something already.
That's already there. Almost like a special effects or CGI type thing that we've had forever, but with audio. And anyway, I just thought it was pretty cool that they have a new single and they're number one with it. And all four of them do play on it. And two of them are no longer with us. So
yeah. Yeah.
Strange times. Strange times.
It is. You know, I was wondering about the financial element. There must be some kind of finances that all this money goes to that helps the families or something. But it'd be interesting to see what that is.
Yeah. I mean, I know that again, if you watch the documentary, you'll see that. And by the way, online, you can also listen to the original the demo track that he did. Mm-hmm. And you can see how different it was. But if you can find it, I think YouTube is taking a lot of that down. I think it keeps popping up.
Yeah.
But, I think Yoko actually sent Paul McCartney that tape back in the mid 90s. And they tried to do it then and they couldn't.
Yeah, right. Technology wasn't there.
Sounded horrible. They couldn't release it. But the technology has finally gotten to the point where it could do it. Anyway, I ordered the 45, the vinyl.
I saw. Yes.
Yeah. I just had to have that like a collector's item there with the flip side. The B side is Love Me Do, which was their very first hit. Mm-hmm. So that I love the bookend of that, the way that just kind of wraps it all up in a bow and done. I love it. All right. Let's get into some Apple Watch news. We got a lot of little things to talk about here.
We do.
And I'm going to kind of go in chronological order of what's been happening. So maybe not necessarily the most important first, but I was curious to ask you, and I know Vincent's not here. I was hoping he would be here to ask him this question too, if you've noticed this. But apparently some people have been reporting flickers or pulses on their Apple Watch models when always on mode is enabled, particularly the Series 9 and the Ultra 2. Have you noticed anything like that?
I saw this article. I have not noticed one thing like this on my watch at all.
Me neither, but apparently a number of people have to the point that Apple said they're going to be looking into it to give you an update. Apple says that service providers should not repair affected watches and instead advise customers to keep their Apple Watch software up to date, suggesting that they will eventually have a fix available with the watchOS update at some point. So a little bug there, it looks like, on some of the models.
Right. Well, didn't they just have 10.11 come out? Or am I dreaming?
No, I know 10.1. I think 10.1. Did we get one more after that?
I thought we had a minor little fix this week, I think, that came up. But I may be wrong.
And maybe that does address it. I'm not, I was not aware of that, but it might.
Yeah.
And speaking of little issues, the other thing that was going on here was this battery drain that was happening for a lot of people. And Apple finally put out this, how long we've been gone. That was a story, and now the fix is already there. So we'll just report on the whole thing. Apparently people were having a battery drain on their Apple Watch, and the new update. Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. 10.1.1. You're correct. That update addresses the battery drain and overheating bug that some people were experiencing. I didn't notice any of that. I don't know if you did.
I thought I did for okay. a couple of days. And when I saw 10.11 pop up and say it's going to be installed tonight, and I saw that it was for that issue, I thought, uh-huh. I thought for, I don't know, a week or so, Tom, I seemed to be getting battery drain, but then I didn't notice it. So I don't know if I had it or not, or I was just using the watch a lot. So to tell you the truth, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would attribute any, and I did have one or two, but I attribute it to new watch, new OS, updating, had a new phone, you know, lots of things
same
that
here. Right.
cause that issue. And but it hasn't been like every single day, you know, type of thing.
So. Yeah, that's the same here. Because I know that when I was using the phone, and the new phone, and we were texting back and forth, and I was kind of complaining about that. And you so kindly reminded me that battery drain happens in that conversion period.
Yes, it does. I just checked and I am up to date. I must have done it overnight. I do have 10.1.1. So
yeah, I do too. Yeah, so yeah, we should be good.
Yeah, that's another nice little tip there is if you turn on automatic updates, you'll get these things. You'll mm-hmm. keep up with them that way mm-hmm. and not have to keep checking for it. So yes, very good. Little bugs that Apple's having to squash here. And let's see, what else is going on? You know, that kind of ties into a story. I'm not sure if I even put it in the show notes here, that Apple is put a pause on their next operating systems, which is iOS, 18, watchOS 11. You know, I can't keep up with all these. iPad OS 18. You know, they're working on them because in June they're going to announce them at the Worldwide Developers Conference. Well, mm-hmm. Craig Federighi put a pause on it for a week to do nothing but track down and squash all these bugs and little things that weren't quite right, mm-hmm. Which is very rare for them to do. They usually do that before they release. He did it while they're still this early working on it because I think they want to really focus on getting it right because of stuff like we just talked about. I don't think they want any more of that happening.
So they paused the new development to fix the old stuff or the
No, the new
to really focus on the new stuff.
The new stuff that they're working on, new features and everything. Apparently it's such a big update on everything across the board. In other words, the hardware's probably not going to have a lot of changes to it next year, but the software is supposedly going to be pretty enticing. Mm-hmm. And it's such a big update, they want to make sure they get it right. So as they're working on this, the new stuff, they actually stopped working on it just to like clean up and take care of it.
Got it. Yeah, they did no new development. They just kind of fixed the stuff they developed already and had bugs.
Correct.
Got it.
Which apparently is very rare in their process of how
probably,
they do things.
Yeah.
You know, to stop for a whole week is pretty significant. Because I think they're on a pretty tight schedule of how that... we're getting off track. they're focusing on bugs, so things like we just talked about don't happen next year coming up. All right, let's dive into a quick patent here. This is kind of interesting. A patent for speakers integrated into the mm-hmm. fabric mm-hmm. of Apple Watch bands, garments, iPad folios, and more. So Apple was actually granted a patent for this, and I'll put a link in the show notes. You can see all the tech here. I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, but it is pretty cool that they can do this.
It is.
And what's really interesting to me is that it's not just the watch band, right? It's other things, right? Mm-hmm. It says it may be a shirt, jacket, pants, dress, undergarment, or other desired garment. And then the little diagram shows a t-shirt with a bunch of things on it. And mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, this is pretty wild that they're going to have that kind of a speaker type system in the clothing.
It is. And I think we've had the clothing element before, I think, with sensors. So now you can put a shirt on and you can work out effectively, play your music. What else can you do? I mean, you don't have to carry anything with you. Just put your shirt on.
Okay. So does that mean that with a speaker in clothes, Apple can put Find My in your socks so you never lose one again? Is that what it can do? It can play a sound?
You can. Certainly.
find my socks. So just listen for the sound to find that lost sock in the dryer. coming soon to an Apple store near you. Yeah, they're just covering their bases on a lot of this stuff when they do patents.
It is. It's patent number 10,000 that we've talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
We've seen three maybe come to fruition.
Yes, exactly. But this would be interesting in the bands. Although, I don't know, how good is a speaker going to be coming from your...
It may not be high def, you know, that you're going to play, you know, the new Beatles song, but if you're doing like a conference call or something, doing a FaceTime, maybe it's just good audio.
Do that already on the watch. I don't need it in the band.
True.
That's weird. It's weird. It's very strange. Unless it has something to do with the whole Apple Vision experience, right? Maybe there's something going on there.
Maybe.
Wearable stuff. I don't know.
Well, maybe you could take your watch off and you know, connect, you know, if you have you can connect it up and lay it down on a counter and play it. And it's got like really really good sound. And you could use it as like a remote speaker.
So the two ends of the strap of the band, what is your left and right speaker? Is that how it
there
works?
There you go. Yeah.
Stereo. Absolutely. Stereo.
You got stereo speaker.
Hey, you have two socks, stereo, right? Right and left. Tom. Okay. All right. Moving on. Okay. Speaking of rumors and things that may or may never happen, we'll keep on this track for a moment. Apple is actively working on a new HomePod with an LCD screen on the top. Okay. This is, there's a prototype collector who shared images of components from an unreleased HomePod. There's a large touch screen sensor at the top with a much larger area than the current HomePod panel. And this is from 9to5 Mac. And they say they're able, and I'll put a link in the show notes for this if you want to see the image, said they were able to verify the legitimacy of the images with their own sources. And they've learned more details about this HomePod with an LCD codenamed B720. This prototype is being actively worked on by Apple, which confirms that we're talking about a new product and not something that the company has experimented with in the past. So the other thing they know is to take advantage of the new HomePod display, Apple's been rewriting some of the tvOS apps so they can run on different display formats, something that wouldn't be necessary today, since pretty much all TVs had the same aspect ratio. So that, and they say, by the way, it's worth noting that the HomePod runs a modified version of tvOS without a user interface. So, and then they did a mock-up, of course. They couldn't resist. 9to5 Mac mocked up what it would look like and it looks pretty nice, but then
it does.
I'm thinking, wait a minute. Depending on where you put this thing, how are you ever going to see the top of it?
Yeah, that was the thing I thought too. Because do you ever look at the top of yours?
No, never.
Everything's verbal. I do everything verbal.
Right. That's what they've taught us to do. Correct. But if it has a screen, shouldn't that screen be facing me and not the ceiling?
Yes, and that's. didn't we have a story a month, 2 months ago that they were going to put a camera in it or something? So it has to be on the front end so you can see it visually. I don't think you can put it behind the mesh. I think somebody actually mentioned that in the story here.
Yeah.
Because that would look kind of odd being able to see it. But, I
have a thought.
Yeah.
What if that little display on the top just pivots up and down?
Watch charger.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're talking. As long as it's strong enough that when you touch it and tap it, it doesn't, flop down or something.
But yeah, but tilt it up so you could see it and you can pop it down when you don't need it. I mean, that might be a way to do it, but who knows? I can tell this is like this is designed like for the kitchen, isn't it? This is like something that'd be a hub type thing you'd want, in a different part of the house that has a screen to keep you up to date with stuff. I mean, to me, this seems like the perfect kitchen device, but...
Yeah, and if you didn't have any other device with you, because most of the communication you can get on something you have on your body or near your body.
But as a speaker, just to hear music in another room, but also be informed visually with things at a glance, instead of raising your wrist or pulling your phone out of your pocket or whatever, I can see a need for this. But anyway.
Yeah, same here.
We'll see. We'll see what happens there. What else? Oh, this is, yeah, this was kind of inevitable. Apple TV Plus, Arcade, and News Plus subscription prices have been increased. So Apple increased the price of Apple TV Plus from $9.99 up from $6.99 a month. Apple Arcade's gone up from $4.99 to $6.99, and News Plus has been up to $12.99. If you get the bundle, if you do the Apple One bundle, the individual is now priced at $19.95. The Apple One family costs $25.95, and the Premier is $37.95. Now, if you do it instead of monthly, you do it as a yearly thing. Apple TV Plus has gone from $69 a year to $99. Mm-hmm. So that puts them pretty much at the same level as all their competition, right?
Yes, except Netflix.
Yeah, now they
way more expensive.
Now they started out, Apple TV Plus started out at $4.99, which I knew was way lower than it should be. And that was just because they were new and starting out and needed a lot of subscribers. Just last October, they went to $6.99. And now they've jumped all the way up to $9.99. So I would argue that for Apple TV Plus, it's probably worth it because their content has gotten much, much better. And there's more of it than they've had before. I also think, I mean, if you look at what Apple TV is doing right now, you've got Killers of the Flower Moon. Mm-hmm. Movie, Martin Scorsese's probably going to be all over the Oscars awards, which will be coming to Apple TV once it finishes its run in the theater, exclusively, I'm sure, on Apple TV. And then you've got Napoleon coming out.
That's right. Yes.
This month, also going to be a contender. So Apple's doing pretty well when it comes to content here lately. And a lot of their shows have improved too and are doing very well.
Yeah. Season 4 of For All Mankind started last Friday.
It did. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of bad makeup there for Ed Baldwin.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's 40 years older or something from over the course of this show, right?
It's only been like 7 years since we last saw him.
No, it's been more than that, hasn't it?
I don't think so. They're in the 2000s. They were in the 1990s.
Okay.
So it hasn't been more than 10 years. But since the show started, yeah, big shift in time for his age. But I just think that bugged me just a little bit. The rest of it's pretty cool. Other than the absolutely ridiculous way they were trying to move an asteroid. But, you know, hey.
Yeah, that was a weird story. But
yeah, hey. Like you wouldn't anticipate anything, you know. Anyway, I'd give it away. But yeah. This should still be an interesting season. Mm-hmm. The other one that we're really into now is Lessons in Chemistry. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't looked at that one at all.
Brie Larson, right? Captain Marvel. Excellent show, period piece in the in the early 60s. Just kind of fascinating. I don't know why. It's just very, very intriguing. Great show. Well done.
I haven't seen it. I mean, I've seen the I guess you call it the advertisement for it, but I haven't played that one.
Yeah, check it out if you get a chance. It's a good one. Anyway, price is going up.
Yes, sir.
Which we kind of knew they would. Right now, the price of iCloud, Apple Music, and Fitness Plus have not changed for now. Those remain the same. But for everybody else, anything else you're doing with Apple, price has gone up. Inevitable.
I think so.
Yeah. Everybody else has raised their prices. In fact, I'm kind of surprised it took Apple that long to raise Apple TV Plus to what it is now. I thought the first time they jumped the price, I guess they had to do it slowly. They didn't want to jump from $5 to $10, right? that would be, doubling would be a bit much.
It is.
But they have doubled by now. So
yeah, not, like you said, they're pretty price competitive now with everyone except Netflix. I think everyone's in the $9.99 plus or minus kind of. Few dollars
adds up quick if you do a lot of them.
It does,
but there's a lot of content out there. And yeah, hopefully now with the actor strike being done, they'll might be a little lull in content, but it should kick back up. So
yeah, next spring I think everything will kind of get back to normal.
Spring, maybe by summer. Yeah. Okay. What else here? We got, this is really cool. Okay. We're talking about double tap gesture. I just marked this article so I can put a link in the show notes. This is from Mac Rumors, and they have a list of everything you can do with the double tap gesture on Apple Watch. Very handy list here of everything it can do, which is kind of cool. So,
it is. That's a very good list.
Yeah, I actually love it. As we were mentioning, the double tap does not apply to everything, but you can make certain, there's certain settings you can change. You can opt to change a playback option from play or pause to skip, and the smart stack option from advanced to to swap through the widgets to select, which opens a widget, right?
Mm-hmm.
Double tap can be used with third-party apps through incoming notifications, but there is no double tap API for third parties right now at the current time. Mm-hmm. Developers can still customize their apps for double tap to an extent by assigning the action that should occur when a double tap gesture is used on an incoming notification. In other words, they can gear up what the first thing you would do by double. In other words, if you only get one response when this notification comes up, what do they want it to be? They can do
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it'll get better.
I think so.
Yeah, it should.
There's some annoying things like going through your smart stack. When you get to the end of the smart stack and you double tap, you should go back to the watch face.
No, you start over.
I know. You start over. I've already seen that.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a whole list here of things. I have to say the number one thing I'm using it for is timers. When I'm cooking, it is amazing to check. First of all, to check, see how much time is left. I've got two or three timers going.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it. I have the timers. When you set a timer, it immediately jumps to the top of that stack.
Mm-hmm.
So if I double tap, what I'm going to see is what's left on the timer, right? Immediately. It's right at the top. So that's pretty cool. And then when a timer goes off, double tap just to turn it off, you know, to dismiss it. Love that. Absolutely love that. And changing music tracks. That is also very, very handy. But there are a number of other things it can do. And I'll put a link in the show notes so everybody can see this.
Yeah, mine's like I mentioned, doing the messaging, the replying, then dictation and sending with double tap. That I've really gotten into that quite a bit.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool. It's very cool. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they expand on it. Maybe it's just the beginning.
I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here from Ming Chi Kuo, our favorite analyst. With Apple supply chain has some disturbing news. If you're looking for a new Apple Watch Ultra next year, he's saying there are currently no signs of an Apple Watch Ultra 3 in development. He said the chance of it happening is decreasing. He said if it don't kick off the project by December, it's almost confirmed that you won't see a new Apple Ultra in 2024. Have they ever done that? Just not updated a watch version at all? Have they done that? I'm trying to remember.
Not that I can think of.
Had something, right?
Always had something. And I mean, you've had the watch, the non-Ultra watch, but you've had in different case configurations and stuff. And that's come and gone. But they've always done something hardware-wise.
Right.
And now the Apple Watch Ultra 3 – you know, I guess the only thing they did this year was double tap and brightness, I think, wasn't it?
I mean, come on, give us new
speed.
Speed, new colors, anything, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't have to be revolutionary, but it should be a change. But the other part of this that worries me is that the reason there isn't going to be one is that every other Apple Watch is going to be changed significantly. Like, different watch band connections and you know what I mean? Like major overhaul that's been rumored. If that does happen next year, they may want to keep the Ultra the way it is for now.
Yeah, I agree. And I know we've talked about that because the availability of new watch bands in the last 24 months has decreased dramatically. Mm-hmm. Other than the Ultra and the three new designs we got last year for the first Ultra, really hasn't been a lot. And maybe that's why they're trying to set us up not to spend hundreds of dollars on new bands that would be obsolete in a year or two. So could happen.
Yeah, it could. Now, he's also speculating here that it's likely the reason this has happened is because Apple needs more time mm-hmm. to develop innovative health management features and address issues related to micro LED production. He's saying a new Apple Watch Ultra with a larger 2.1 inch micro LED display is rumored to launch in 2025 or 2026. So it could just be that they're not quite there yet.
Well, honestly, it's just like the phone. These things are fast enough, bright enough. Cameras are good enough to do it. It's how much can you, how much do you and I notice?
Okay, come on. Throw in some colored dye into the mix when you make the new titanium. Give us some colors. That isn't hard to do.
I will say that's very true. Even these new phone cases are like, blah, you know, there's nothing colorful at all.
Yeah.
And there's gotta be a reason they're doing that.
Yeah. How about a deep space black Ultra Watch, right? Anything.
Yes.
Anything, but yeah. Anyway, so we'll see what happens next year. And by the way, we kind of, because I'm going in order here of kind of when these things came in, Apple had a big event that we didn't have a chance to talk about.
They did.
This was on October 30th, right before Halloween. Mm-hmm. They had their Scary Fast event, as they mentioned in the invite. And it's the first time they've done an evening event.
Yeah.
And it's the first time we got to see Apple Park at night. So you still had your drone fly through, but it's all lit up. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah. And they kept with a theme of the whole Halloween thing throughout. I think it was Johnny Cerucci when they went down to talk about the new chips. Mm-hmm. He says, welcome to my lab. You know, he's got that accent, and it sounded pretty funny. But it was what they announced was all of these, the new line of M3 chips. And this is the first time that Apple has released all three versions, mm-hmm. the M3, the M3, what, Pro, and the M3 Max, right? Is that the three? Am I getting that
yes,
right? All at once. Mm-hmm. There's like no holding back now. They're off and running. They kind of broke it up throughout the year before, and they updated the MacBook Pro line with the M3 chips, and for the first time in what three years at least, the iMac, the 24-inch iMac now has an M3. So really cool, exciting stuff. If you're in the market for a new Mac, this is a pretty cool time to be looking, because there's some great stuff out there. I really do believe that's true what they said, that the, what was it, the MacBook Pro with the M3 Max is the most powerful laptop in the world now?
Easily. I can't see how it wouldn't be.
Yeah, it's insane. But what was really cool, and I'll put a link in the show notes for this as well, Apple released the whole behind the scenes at this event, because to me, as amazing as all the M3 chips and the speeds and what you can do with them are, the thing that blew me away most was the final frame of this event, black screen, filmed on iPhone.
Yes.
And had no clue during the entire event, because it looked no different than anything they'd done before. But it's the first time they did it all on an iPhone 15.
I saw, you know, I went and looked at some pictures from behind the scene as well. And there's a whole bunch in this article that we read too. Mm-hmm. It was the iPhone, but all that additional equipment for lighting and sound and how they did all that was really incredible. And it was cool to see the headquarters at night. It was very well done.
So, the production was advised by, John Carr. He's a pro workflow video specialist. Mm-hmm. And this is a quote from him. He says, it's pretty amazing how you can put this in the hands of someone who's a professional director, and they don't have to change their equipment. They don't have to change any of the things that they always do. The only difference was an iPhone was capturing all of this.
Right.
So it's the same rigs. It's the same gear. All the same stuff that I used to use when we used to make commercials with actual film. It's the same equipment, only now it's all condensed down into a phone with a hard drive attached to it. It's unbelievable.
It is. It is. And isn't there
blows my mind.
Yeah. Isn't there a whole technique for like low light filming that it's a technique and they did it on the iPhone?
Well, that's the thing with the iPhone, it just kind of showed off the improvements in low light that they've made with the iPhone 15 Pro Max. Yeah, everything from drone footage to dollies and big cranes, they use all of it in this.
Right.
Just like you would in making a movie, except they have a little adapters that the phone is what it's attached to this giant equipment. But that's how they get those smooth moves and everything. And what they use is, this was really cool. They use what's called the Blackmagic camera app.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Blackmagic has been around for a while. As soon as digital cameras were made for pro, like for movies and things, is a name that's been around for a while. And you had to have this really expensive equipment to use Blackmagic, right? But the software was the key to it. Well, now the software, you can download it for the phone and it's free. And you have all the features that these guys have been using for years on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I downloaded it. I've been playing with it, and I'm just blown away by what it does. I mean, we're about to go do an event. It's a live event on a stage kind of thing, and we're going to be doing some demo work. And normally, I would have to film close-ups of what we're doing because it's on a table, and you want all these people behind you to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to have my rig and my stand and my, you know, gear and camera, and I can only make certain moves and attach to a projector and all this equipment. I bought an adapter from USB-C to HDMI, and I'm going to take an HDMI cable and just plug it into the projector and hold my phone over this thing and film it all.
Mm-hmm.
No gear, yeah. No equipment, yeah. and using the Blackmagic software. Which is so cool because you get all of these, sorry to do a quick review here, but you get all these settings with the Blackmagic app for your camera on the phone that you don't get with the normal phone camera mm-hmm. app. And you have all these settings on the screen, but you can choose clean output, which means all of that stuff on your screen doesn't show up on the monitor. All you see is the image. Beautiful. Mm. Oh, it's really, really cool stuff like that. So I'm excited to try this out. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes. You can watch the video on this behind the scenes. And I'm just kind of drooling over some of the equipment they're using here. It's pretty cool.
Are we going to see like full feature films recorded on iPhone someday?
I think parts of them already have been. Yeah.
Hmm.
But particularly though, with the iPhone Pro Max going forward, you're going to see more because of the USB-C. Having that port allows you to, and they talk about it in the video, you can record. The thing that was limiting to the phone was the amount of storage you had, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're shooting 4K, it's taking up a ton of space. You run out real quick. And they used to have multiple phones, right? When they're filming something, they'd just switch out the phone
and keep going.
Well, now you can attach through the USB-C cable
right.
an external high-speed hard drive.
Right, right.
And record like you normally would with a big, big, you know, digital camera rig on the phone. It's absolutely amazing. And the other thing is it can drive all of these different monitors from the phone. And they're using some other thing in here. I forget what it was called. But it allows the Tentacle Sync, which gives them time code and enables all devices on the set, including Macs and preview screens, to be synced throughout the production.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. All these monitors and everything everybody's looking at is all coming from the phone.
That's kind of amazing.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
How far we've come. Yeah. Now the Blackmagic software, Mm-hmm. That's not an Apple product, right? That's like Blackmagic themselves. Is that the name of the company?
Right. It's a third party company.
Yeah.
Third party app. It's just an app on the phone, which is unbelievable what it can do.
So is this Sherlocking like expensive cameras?
It kind of is. And for certain applications, yes. Like what they do, what Apple does. Mm-hmm. Yes. Movies, they like to have very precise things, you know what I'm saying? They're very particular about certain shots, and certain DPs, director of photography, have their particular stuff that they like to use to get a certain thing. But as they start to play with it, I don't know if cost comes into it or what the decision would be, but I don't know why you wouldn't consider it in some of this stuff.
And that's where I was actually going with my next question. I got to think the cost side of this is could be a game changer depending on who you are and what you need to do. Maybe, you know, obviously startup as a movie, someone new in the business, I guess you can almost, I'm sure people doing it all the time. I don't follow it, but your iPhone making a movie. I mean, come on. Cost of entry.
It's like I said, it's been that way for a while.
Yeah.
But now, oh my goodness, the results you can get are just astounding. Now, it does help that, the people making this video, huge, huge experience in all of this stuff, right? These guys, what was the list here of movies that they worked on? I mean, it was
there's a huge list here.
Stranger Things, Fast 10. Just all kinds of different films that they've worked on in the past.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of experience. Top Gun Maverick, Terminator, Avatar, Iron Man 2. I mean, these guys have quite the resume of film work and know what they're doing. But it's pretty cool that they can apply all that to the phone now.
Yeah.
Anyway, kind of fun. Thought that was cool. And yeah, very exciting. There's the new MacBooks. And by the way, you're talking about colors. The new MacBook Pros have a new color, that dark space black, that is only available in the Pro version. So when you see one in the wild, you'll know that that person has one of the fastest laptops in the world.
Well, it just took, 3 years ago they started announcing the M chips? And, and we knew that it would take, obviously, with the supply chain issues of COVID and all the different products, it would take 2 or 3 years. So that they seem to be there now. Supply chain is caught up with supply and is caught up with design, and now they can just do these releases, and it just is amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that they can release all three at once now is pretty cool. Pretty cool. I like that. So just imagine where we're going to be when we're talking M7. M8, you know, I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. Kind of already is with the speed.
It is. The speeds are ridiculous.
I mean, if you have an M1, I don't see a big rush to update to M3. Mm-hmm. But if you have an Intel-based Mac, don't walk, but run to the nearest Apple store and update at some point because they are lightning fast now compared to what you have. If you can afford it, do it. Because because you know, a lot of these times you get these speed bumps and they talk about the numbers, how much faster this is and this is that. To the average person, it's a little snappier, but doesn't really affect you, right? And this is coming from someone who uses computers way past their expiration date. I pull more time out of a computer than most people do, to the point of, you know, getting to be a bit ridiculous. You should probably update it. But a lot of times there is not that need. But man, if you're coming, there's such a leap from Intel to this now. It's night and day.
Right. Yeah. I think you update your phone every year, but your watch, but your iPad and your Mac are pretty crusty, aren't they?
Yeah. Forever. The podcast was recorded on a 2007 Mac.
Yeah.
Now I've shifted things around. I have an M1 Mac Mini that it's recorded on. And I don't see upgrading that for quite a long time. It's more than capable for doing this type of work. And yeah, I have older ones that are dedicated to just one or two functions, you know, all they do is this one thing and they're fine doing that. But yeah, phone and watch update all the time. iPad Pro, I've got the very first one. with the old pencil and everything.
Exactly, yeah.
And I don't really notice it being that slow. You know what I mean? I'm missing some features. I know that. It'll be nice to update at some point, but I don't have a pressing need for it at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, let's move on. Let's see. Apple. Oh, this comes from Bloomberg. He's saying that the Apple Watch will be gaining blood pressure monitoring and sleep apnea detection as soon as next year. That's pretty cool.
That's like a game changer, the blood pressure monitoring. We hadn't thought about sleep apnea. We'd never mentioned that before, have we?
No, I don't think so. Gurman says that the first iteration of the path-breaking blood pressure sensor technology coming next year will include hypertension detection. Mm-hmm. So it's designed to tell you if your blood pressure is trending upward.
Right, right, right.
And to offer a journal for you to jot down what's happening to avoid potentially giving a misdiagnosis that will then direct you to talk to a doctor or check it with a traditional cuff to get the exact systolic and diastolic measurements. So they're saying in a future version of the system that's in development – will provide exact numbers and even diagnose related conditions. However, these enhancements remain far off. That makes sense.
It does. Well, trends help. Trends are certainly helpful to let you know. I think we have a couple health features that do that, don't they? That tell you.
Yes. And go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say also, he mentioned that this sleep apnea, again, detection feature. According to this report, it will use sleep and breathing patterns to estimate whether someone has the condition, then direct you to see a physician. So again, not making a diagnosis, just telling you what's trending and what's possibly happening. They're also working on a non-invasive blood glucose monitoring. We mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. They're said to use a silicon photonics chip to shine light from a laser under the skin to determine the concentration of glucose in the body. It's been designed a similar way to the blood pressure system in that it currently monitors how a person's blood sugar is trending and warns users of prediabetes rather than offer an actual blood sugar reading. That, however, is a few years away. Let's keep going here because this is crazy. They're also working on a hearing aid detection for AirPods. As soon as next year, equipped with a new feature, the AirPods will be able to function as an over-the-counter hearing aid and be able to perform hearing tests typically administered in an audiologist office. And then the Vision Pro headset, not to be left out. They're going to use it for anti-anxiety and enhanced meditation features, as well as a virtual reality system to reinforce positive thinking and improve mental health, and to use sensors in the device to scan your eyes for cognitive health data and possibly a version of Fitness Plus in the future. Apple is all in on health is what I see from this.
All in. And that's going to be the major changes over the years. Obviously, we just talked through them all versus, you know, speeds. And obviously the look, because it looked like they're going to give you a lot of new colors that you want, Tom. between those hardware changes, which are directly associated with health, and the continuing refinement of the OS and the interaction with the watch, you know, touchless interaction, that's the game changing stuff that we're going to get to. You know, so I don't think there'll be a bunch of cool features on the watch. It's going to be all these health features that are going to take over.
And I have to think that the all these features I just mentioned will all become possible because of their chips, the M3 and beyond. Everything they've learned from them, everything they can do with them, it's going to be pretty amazing. Speaking of just talking about trends and whatnot, there's some very interesting information that came out with a report with some interviews with insiders. This is a new report that apparently the first Apple Watch was supposed to launch with blood sugar monitoring.
Right.
According to this interview, a non-invasive blood sugar monitoring was supposed to be a part of the first Apple Watch. It was supposed to be the headline feature. So apparently what happened here, and they're kind of getting this by putting together a picture of the gap between the company's ambitions and what it has so far been able to achieve. Mm-hmm. So it seemed initially when the watch came out that Apple didn't really know what it was for, right? There was no real direction. It did everything, right? It's not like there was one purpose for it. So they focused on notifications as a selling point, which later shifted to health, you know, fitness being one of the key things. But apparently the health and fitness was the number one thing from the beginning, that according to this, when Tim Cook announced it, the new device was supposed to have health features, a heart rate monitor, a way to measure, I'm sorry, this is what he announced, health rate monitor, way to measure steps taken, calories burned, a fitness app. But the original version had been grander. The company had envisioned the watch as a tiny medical lab featuring the Avalante glucose monitor as a centerpiece. Avalante was a subsidiary of Apple that had secretly been created for 4 years earlier, specifically to work on non-invasive blood glucose monitoring. Mm-hmm. Frustrations with that failure led senior Apple execs to scale back their ambitions. Okay. So that, wow. So Apple wanted to do, and this makes perfect sense when you think about how the Apple Watch was launched. It seemed really odd, right?
It was
the way it was done. And now this makes perfect sense. They meant for it to be something bigger. And they're saying here kind of pointedly at Apple executives, rather than try to help the sick, like those with diabetes, Apple focused its work on the worried well, as they call it, in quotes, worried well, those without any significant health issues, but who have anxieties which drive interest in health monitoring tech.
Right. Well, you know, Tom, I think you and I have read all the books and we've certainly gone through a lot of stories. The focus on health didn't seem to be in a lot of those upfront alignment that we read in the books, right? It was right. Like, okay, it's going to be a fashion statement. It's going to be a fashion item.
Right.
And it kind of fell into the health quickly. So this is kind of a contradictory story to that, isn't it?
It is. And I think what happened was when this thing failed, they had to pivot. Mm-hmm. And I think Johnny Ive leaned real heavy into the fashion. Obviously, as a designer and creative, that's what he's going to do. It's all about the look, right? So they did that briefly until the health thing started to take off. But another thing here from this report, rather than providing accurate measurements, which would be useful to those with health conditions, it now aims merely to identify trends, which it can use to suggest someone seek proper medical tests. That's partly driven by fear of regulation. Medical tech can take years to get approval.
Certainly.
And Apple doesn't want its products held up by this. But it's also due to fear of failure. They're saying Tim and Jeff, so that's Tim Cook and Jeff Williams, were so terrified of doing something wrong and focused on protecting the company's image, which is why they didn't take these
bold steps. That's all fair.
It is. It is all fair, but it made them shy away from actual care. And someone was critiquing that, saying Apple is building awesome technologies, but they're skating around the problem. They're saying healthcare is messy and you have to get your hands dirty. At some point, you have to be ready to draw blood, no pun intended.
Well, they're also trying to sell products, and they probably could go through the R&D and all the approvals and 5 years from now come out with a device that could do a lot of things. But in the meantime, they're selling $50 billion worth of watches in 10 years. So I think that's why when I read through this, I was like, it seemed like that's what a CEO is going to do. That's a strategy you want to take. And there's nothing wrong with trending because it's better than nothing.
Right. But it is a very And I'm going to get through to some more here in just a second. Because anyway, this is a whole piece. It's worth reading. It's behind a paywall. But there's a couple of more snippets here I want to talk about that is in this article. When I look at this and what they did, yeah, they held back for those fears, which are very, very logical reasons to do it. But I have to think, and I hate to do this, if Steve Jobs were around and the goal was to push forward very painfully, if you have to, healthcare, he would have done some of these. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Consequences be damned, we're doing it. He probably would have done that. And I don't think Tim Cook or Jeff Williams had the fortitude to do that. They look at their shareholders, they look at all this stuff, and they're like, if this fails, the fear of failure, I think, was the biggest thing. It wasn't regulation and all that. It's fear of failure. If they push forward and it didn't work, man, that's a big flop for Apple.
It is. And that's, I think, the difference of styles of Tim Cook and Steve Jobs, too, because in the same books, Steve would say, F it, this is what we're going to do April 1st.
Exactly.
And if you don't do it, you're all gone, right? And they would do it. But and you know what? Some of it was just as innovative of the things they're trying to put in a watch. I mean, the very first phone was the most innovative thing probably created, right, in communication. So it is, think about it, it is different. But then again, Steve Jobs probably couldn't manipulate the government into doing things faster.
Oh no, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying he would have probably pushed these boundaries a lot harder.
Yeah.
Than what they've done. And he was notorious for that. He would call, remember the whole thing about the iPhone? He didn't own that yet and they called it that, and then he worked on a way to get it. So he had that tendency to shoot first and ask questions later, right?
Yeah, same with Apple Music. Is that what it was?
I mean,
he totally changed that industry, and he was way ahead of everyone who was approving anything. He was out there doing things, and he had to go change that industry midstream
with iTunes. But what's really frustrating about all this is that you think of this whole push for healthcare that Tim Cook seems to be on, and he has said over and over that the main legacy that he thinks Apple should be known for in the far future will be its legacy in health. And it was done because of Steve Jobs and his issues with the healthcare system when he died. All of this is done because of that, yet they're not pushing it as hard as they can, which means it's just taking longer. Anyway, let me get to some of these other points here. We had this company, Avalante, that Apple owned. Insiders say that was the company's stealthiest initiative. Staff didn't know who owned the company when they were interviewed. They were banned from wearing Apple clothing to the office. The heart rate sensor in the Apple Watch Series 1 wasn't good enough to really promote it. Huh, that's interesting. Johnny Ive designed a blood pressure monitor that didn't need to be inflated.
Yeah, that was the one that popped out for me.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah.
Apple considered making a range of health devices, including scales. And then this is the one that the next two are probably the two of the biggest ones for me. Apple Watch was intended to be compatible with Android. But the company abandoned this plan, fearing a loss of iPhone sales. Wow. How different would that first watch have been?
Yeah, very.
Oh, my goodness. It could have been a blockbuster if they'd been able to pull some of that off, you know, and even just releasing it with Android. Oh my goodness. It still turned out to be very, very big and very huge. And as we say at the top of the show, it's still the number one watch in the world, but go ahead.
No, I say, you wonder if it would have gone and pivoted to health if they had integrated with Android and just sold a billion of them. Right. I mean, it could be a totally different device today.
It could be, could also be that influx of extra money could have made all these other things possible. Although not that Apple needs money, but it could. I mean, it could have been another iPhone for them. You know, I understand protecting your iPhone sales. So anyway, all I'm getting out of all of this is an abundance of caution on the part of Tim Cook and Jeff Williams over the years when it comes to the Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people buy an Apple would convert from an Android to an iPhone so they can get an Apple Watch? I wonder how many people did that. Because that's what they were. That's what their concern was, right? That's what they protected. I guess I should say the Apple Watch is such a great product that I want one, and let me convert over the phone, because that's hard to do. How many people go both back and forth? Not many.
No. The only people I know that do that, Andy Anacco, who's been on our show before, mm-hmm. From Boston. I think Android is his daily driver, but he does check out the iPhone every year, you know, and he gets mm-hmm. tempted. Mm-hmm. And I think he mentioned, I may be misquoting this, but the last watch update and stuff, mm-hmm. that he's real tempted to get an Apple Watch and keep the phone as his daily device. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that he's made that switch yet. Anyway, very fascinating stuff when you look back at it. Let's see what else. Oh, we were talking about the iMac, mm-hmm. and you know, I was a long time user of the 27-inch iMac, like from the very first one through pretty much every version they had.
Right.
And then when my last one died on me, I knew they were going to some new chips. They were going to do something new, and I was hesitant to buy a new one. So I was waiting, right? I'm on a wait. They've announced mm-hmm. there's going to be mm-hmm. an M1. I'm sure there's going to be a new iMac 27-inch all-in-one device. I bought a Mac Mini instead, which is what I'm using right now for the podcast, an M1 Mac Mini with a monitor. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going to wait and see what they did. And what did they do? They came out with the Mac Studio instead. And the iMac they came out with was only 24 inches. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't 5K. It was 4.5K monitor, mm-hmm. even less. So I made the jump to the Studio, got the 5K monitors to go with it. And I'm happy as can be. I don't regret that one bit. And now Apple has actually made a statement that said they are not going to make a 27-inch iMac.
Right, right.
Which is very clear that they just updated the 24. But they've actually said that. So if you've been waiting to buy a 27-inch iMac, you can wait no more, because it ain't happening.
That's a big device, though, isn't it? 27 inches?
I mean, I've got three of those monitors on my desk now that are 27. But the fact that it's all in one, it's the computer, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty cool. No extra cables snaking around, no fumbling for things. You know, it's all in one. And that was a great form factor.
You know, Tom, I haven't used a monitor since like my first job out of college. I have been
really
PC, Mac, mm-hmm. in every job I've ever had. I've never sat in front of a screen, and it's interesting. You know, I guess
you're saying you only use laptops, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, it depends on what you're doing, right? I mean,
yeah. Sales, laptops, right? Sales guys tend to have just laptops.
You don't need big screens. You're not
right.
You're not running day trading, right? You don't need all those, that real estate, and you're not doing video editing or photo editing or anything.
Right,
see, I do all the creative side of things, and all of those processes require screen real estate. You know, you need big monitors to see things better.
Yeah. And like engineers, you know, engineers doing the design.
Yes.
It's just interesting that to me, you know, 27 inches would be just massive sitting in front of me. I wouldn't know what to do with it.
However, this is very interesting. Although Apple says we're not making a 27 inch, that leaves the door open for them making one that's even bigger. Mm-hmm. Right? There was a rumor of them doing a larger, like 32 inch iMac, which they still may do in a couple of years. So mm-hmm. may have to see what happens there. But yeah, I gave up my 27-inch iMac dreams and haven't looked back. It's been fine. The Mac Studio has not disappointed at all. Another thing that happened was Apple announced its earnings. Mm-hmm. Once again, beating expectations, $89.5 billion in revenue. The analysts thought it'd be 84, so they beat that by mm-hmm. a good $5 billion or so there.
Yep, yeah. The size of a major company, they beat it in one quarter, $5 billion.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's just the little icing on top.
Yeah, just $5 billion.
Yeah, They reported revenue of, let's see, last year, the same quarter, they reported revenue of $90.15 billion. So they were only off by 0.5 or less billion. Yeah, not that much.
Yeah, their stock just shot up. It was great watching
Eventually, yeah. It took a little while.
It did.
So this particular quarter included sales for the iPhone 15, the Apple Watch Series 9, the Apple Watch Ultra 2, the USB-C AirPods Pro 2 as well. It does not include the new Macs that they just announced. All that's going to be in the next quarter, the holiday quarter. Mm-hmm. So yeah, overall, I'm not going to go through all the numbers here, but overall they did very well, but if you chart it a certain way, it's still going down every quarter.
It is. Yeah.
Which is not a great trend, but I think most companies are having that difficulty right now. Okay. We got to mention this. I know we're running late here. This is going to be a longer show than I planned. Apple Watch sales ban.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this before. Mm-hmm. The U.S. International Trade Commission, the ITC. It all comes from this lawsuit from Masimo, a medical company, about Apple stealing trade secrets and violating patents with its blood pulse oximeter. Well, apparently they won this ruling, and there's now a 60-day review window that mm-hmm. if the Biden administration does not intervene come Christmas Day, Apple will be banned from importing Apple mm-hmm. watches to the United States. I don't know what to make of this. There's a lot of ways it can go. I don't know who to believe at this point. I'm sure they're going to appeal, but there's a number of ways they can go about it. They could, number one, license this from the company, right? They could come to an agreement and pay for it, admit defeat and do that. They could also remove that feature from the watch for future versions of the watch, right? Just not turn it on, which would really hurt. So I don't know what they're going to do here.
Can I ask you a question, though? Yeah. I didn't study this up, but infringing on a patent, I get, you know, because you can create something that someone's patent, but it says stealing. Did they illegally obtain it? Or is that just another fancy way of saying infringing on a patent?
Well, they're also saying that they, I'm trying to remember when we first talked about it, they talked to Masimo about acquiring them, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to them about their process, what they do. Did not do that. I think they poached some employees and created their own. And that's when the company freaked out and sued them, saying, hey, you quote unquote stole our tech. And apparently this court, the decision agreed with that, but there was enough evidence for the International Trade Commission to say yes.
Right. Right.
Okay. So I don't know where this is going to go. But maybe they're just hoping and praying that they'll get a Christmas miracle.
No, that's not a good business strategy, Tom.
No, it's not.
I think to your point, they'll end up paying some kind of royalty. If they're really backed in a corner and this massive company, Apple, is truly not going to win, they're going to have to do something. Yeah. There's no way they're going to stop the import of watches, and there's no way they're going to turn off this capability because it's one of the top selling points. So it's just going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see either one of those happening. It's going to be some other decision. Now, if the Biden administration steps in and says, hey, no, we don't think that's going to happen, and give them time to appeal, then that's a win for Apple, and they're just going to keep dragging this out through the court system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is a possibility as to what could happen.
That is a possibility, because Apple could probably go to court for 20 years on this if they wanted to.
Yeah, they're saying, furthermore, a filing for an appeal with the Federal Circuit would likely include a request from Apple to hold off on the ban while another review takes place, but there's no guarantee that an Apple Watch import ban would be temporarily lifted by that court. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's no guarantees here. So we'll follow that, see what happens. Kind of a big deal. for the Apple Watch.
Just a little, yeah,
a little just tad. A small one, little mm-hmm. little tiny one, mm-hmm. not a whole lot. Okay, moving on to the Vision Pro. Apparently, 3D movies, which Apple had mentioned they would be doing, mm-hmm. have started to appear.
Yes,
in the Apple TV app with a little logo at the bottom where it says Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos. There's an icon 3D with a outline of the pair of Vision Pro goggles.
Right.
Silhouette. And they've put it on like 20 titles so far. So, okay. Going to be pretty impressive when that does.
That will be pretty cool.
Come out.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that story too, they talked about how many, they said they were going to sell, I forget the number already. 1500 or something. No, I'm way low.
What?
Vision,
what?
Vision Pros.
500,000.
500,000. Thank you. Yeah. I did the math. That's still a pretty big company, by the way. 500,000 yeah, times $3,500.
Yes,
that's
yes,
big.
It is.
That's big.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they're saying 500,000 its first year.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, I don't want to, again, make this a Apple Vision Pro podcast, but maybe that's coming in the future from us. I don't know. But the what is interesting with this is not only how they're going to roll this thing out, apparently you're not going to be able to buy it online. You have to make an appointment and go to an Apple store, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
To have an appointment, get fitted for it, go through the whole thing before you can actually buy one. And it will not be available from anybody else but Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Then nowhere else can you purchase it. Can't go to Best Buy and get it. Okay. It's going to have to be from Apple. So that's different. That was different than even the watch when it was released.
Well, what was different? Because I think you had to make an appointment. You had to get a fitting.
No, you had to only for the gold Apple Watch. Did you have to have an appointment?
And
you could just walk in and buy an Apple Watch. Yeah,
you still had to visit the store and get a fitting, didn't you? Before I guess not. I guess you could.
I don't think so. No, you could pick
Apple store.
Yeah, yeah. The measure your wrist, you know, small, medium, large, whatever it was. And cause I ordered mine. No, we ordered ours online. Me and Vincent did it live. We recorded it at midnight or whenever it was, 2 a.m, whatever it was. We recorded that on one of our first episodes of the show was our process of ordering. So we did not go to a store to do it for the first Apple Watch. But
yep,
this is different. This is going to be, so I don't know if you were thinking of getting one, but I don't know if this changes your thoughts.
I think I probably will. It might be a game time decision, but I say that with every Apple product, I end up buying it. I think it's just going to be so different. I want to experience it. I really do. And it could be a total bust or not, but I just think it's going to be so different that I want one.
I think the new beta version of iOS for your phone, for the 15 Pro Max specifically, if you're on the beta program, just released the ability to record spatial video with your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can then play back on the Vision Pro. So that whole process has started. Very cool. Couple of real quick little things here at the end. I just want to make a note about this because I'm very sad that one of my favorite companies for Apple accessories, including the watch, Pad and Quill, is going out of business.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, it's closing. And I missed hearing about it for a couple of weeks, so there's nothing left. You know, I don't know how much. I don't think you can get any watch bands at all anymore. Mm-hmm. I think they're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I didn't know it either until you sent the story. I had no idea.
And I had just coincidentally purchased a couple of them not that long ago that I reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But those will be the last ones I get from them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I have one of their messenger bags, leather bags for my laptop that is just awesome. I've had it for almost going on 10 years now. Absolutely love the thing, but yep, too bad.
It's the industry. I mean, they're so well known, and my gosh, I've bought a lot from them.
Yeah, yeah. Just it's sad to see. I don't know. I got to find another source for really good leather accessories, you know, especially since Apple seems to have banned leather. yeah, where else are you going to go, right?
Right.
I would have thought that would have helped Pad and Quill, but maybe too little too late.
Possibly.
Yeah. I just thought this was absolutely ridiculous, so I wanted to mention it. Luxury brand unveils an Apple product set encrusted with over 7,500 diamonds for $250,000.
Yeah, I don't know what that is all about.
And it's a pair, it includes an Apple Watch Ultra, iPhone 15 Pro Max, a pair of AirPod Max, and then their own Swiss made watch, all covered with diamonds. And it said each set takes over 500 hours to customize. Comes in a handcrafted black oak box with a white leather interior. Christmas is coming up. I'm just throwing this out there as a suggestion. Anybody wants to get me a gift? There you go.
Yeah.
I'll put a link in the show notes for you. There you go.
They don't even look good, Tom, for $250,000. I mean, come on. At least make them look good.
Who was it? They had a whole list of people who have apparently bought from them in the past, which is, including the Kardashians, I'm sure.
Sure, sure.
But, yeah. But you know, when I'm thinking about it, looking at this, it's like, yeah, okay, you got more money and you know what to do with. Sure. Right.
Yes.
But how ridiculous is it to put it on tech like this when you know in a few years – maybe not even that long, like, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years from now, that watch isn't going to be usable, that usable. It's not going to be that, you know.
True.
I mean, I look back at the first Apple Watch, right? I had the first Apple Watch. I can wear it. It still works, but it doesn't do a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Compared to what the current ones do. And I think the same thing's going to happen 5, 7, 8 years from now. Everything encrusted with diamonds here is just going to lose its value as an actual device, right?
The people buying these, that's the least farthest from their mind.
Yeah, they don't care. What am I thinking? All right. Durability. Here we go. Apple Watch Ultra. This guy from L.A., let's see, Amir Nurani, he's from L.A. He was visiting Austin, and he decided to take a dip in Lake Travis, which is known for, you know, boating, swimming, all kinds of things. His Apple Watch Ultra band, he was wearing, I think it looks like a regular sport band on this thing, came off, down in the water it went 30 feet, and he tried to find it, but he couldn't. He ended up hiring a scuba diver after he dropped a marker where it was. They couldn't find it, so he put his watch into loss mode through the Find My app on his phone. So if anybody did find it, they could at least message him. And somebody did actually find it and contact him after 3 months. So the watch was underwater for 3 months. I think his brother was in the area or whatever.
Right,
he was able
to
meet up with the diver, retrieve the watch. It was covered in grime. He was able to remove most of it. At first, it didn't turn on. He left it plugged in the charger for days, and it finally woke up and is working perfectly ever since. Unbelievable. Three months in a lake, and it's working.
I thought it'd be funny, like, if no one ever found it, and like, in 500 years, someone found it. And they pull that out and they're like, look at this device, how old and terrible it is. It can't do anything, you know?
They wouldn't know how to charge it, how to
get
it.
Yeah, I guess not.
They would not do anything to it.
They'd
figure
it out, Tom. 500 years.
Yeah, they'd figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is a great story.
Yeah, our AI overlords would figure out a way to turn it on, I'm sure.
Yes, yeah.
And then this last story, I absolutely love this. So this guy, he's from, where is he from? Is it New Jersey or somewhere? I don't know where he's from. Giovanni Petruzziello. He ordered a 1 terabyte iPhone 15 Pro Max for himself in September. He then ordered three more 256 gigabyte iPhone 15 Pro Max for his employees. So he's ordered a total of four phones here. He got his phone, and then when the other one showed up on November 1st, three big boxes. He opened them up, and he didn't receive three phones. He received 60 phones. Each box had 20 identical iPhone 15 Pro Maxes, and they were all the 1 terabyte version. Not the 256 he ordered for his employees, but the same one he had. And he put a video in there. I'll put a link in the show notes here so you can watch it, of him opening them on TikTok. He put that, and he unboxed it all. Apparently, this mistake would cost Apple about $96,000 before taxes, so $100,000 worth of devices. And he says, I'm going to probably get in trouble for posting this, but they're probably searching for it right now. But what do I do? It's like, well, you're going to return them more than likely.
Right. Yeah.
But who do you contact? You know, call your local store and say, hey, I've got some iPhones I want to give back. Anyway, pretty wild.
Do you think they would have caught him without him making it so public? I guess if all the phones started getting
tracked that day. You know, they lose one or two, no. But when that many go missing, I think they're going to try to track it down.
Yeah, yeah. Or if there's any kind of I guess there's no verification that you've bought it once you get it up and running, right?
He could have, he could have put the – if he didn't do a video and announce it to everybody – he kept quiet about it. He probably could have put these all on eBay, but still, you're going to get caught.
Right.
What did Vincent send us in a text message the other day? He took a black light to the back of his iPhone box.
Yes.
And there's a QR code and some other indicate type on there that is only visible with a black light.
Yeah.
So Apple is tracking the daylights out of these things. Literally, the daylights out of these things. So
I didn't ask him if he did that because he read something or he just did it because he had a black light around his desk.
I don't know how he discovered it, but yeah. I would have to think that this guy wouldn't get away with trying to sell all these.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Unless he did it on the black market, you know, some underhanded thing. But
right. Then he becomes a criminal and you don't want to do that.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't want that type of trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but wow, what a mix-up. Oh, my gosh, Apple. Whew.
Someone misread something.
Yeah, it's like me ordering my studio, and 10 of them show up. You know, the iMac Studio. That would be funny. Yeah, I don't know what I'd do with that. All right, I think that about covers it. We have quite a bit to talk about.
Yes, yes, sir.
So we'll get to what we like here in just a second, but a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing the show. Check out our page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. And a big thanks to all of our patrons. Every month, you make this show possible. All right, Chris, what do you like this week?
Well, Tom, I think probably might have been the last show we did live. Maybe the one before that, we talked about the fine woven case and the negative press that got really quickly out of the gate. So I had just purchased my fine woven case, and I think it's taupe. If I went and looked up the color, it's taupe, which is the kind of a grayish brownish color.
Not the green one.
Okay. Yeah. And by the way, you know, I said earlier in the show, all these cases, man, none of them are really sexy at all. They're kind of the ugliest things you could get. I mean, they're terrible. But that being said, I put this fine woven case on my new iPhone 15 Pro Max for a month and ran it through all the paces of everything I do, which is, you know, traveling, throwing it down, on the counters, you know, put it in my bag, put it in your pocket, everything. And a month later, I have to report that no scratches, no dents, no gouges. It held up fine from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. And it just did what a leather case does. It kind of looks dirtier and kind of matted down more than the silicone case does.
Right.
So, And these being kind of dull cases, it doesn't show as much. I know I used to have like a red leather iPhone case, and within a short period of time, it looked worn out. Although it looked kind of cool worn out, to tell you the truth. And I think we talked about that a little bit. It looked rustic almost. You know what I mean? This doesn't look rustic. It just looks dirty. And I did kind of do an internet search on how to clean it. And I did that. It would just, you know, take soapy water and lightly rub it over the back of the case for a minute or two. And I did that, rinsed it off, and actually cleaned it up a little bit. So I don't have any problem with it. It's other than the fact that it's not, like I said, it doesn't pop. It's just a good case. Yeah. And the feel, I like the feel of it better than the silicone, because it kind of feels better in your hands because it's smoother and you got a better grip on it. It doesn't slip and slide out of your hands at all. So, you know, it's not terrible. I didn't have any scratches, like I said, or gouges. And so I think that some of that bad press must have been people maybe mistreating their case, or they had some event where they dropped it and it just, you know, a big corner gouged out or something, which could happen to any leather case, I'm sure. So, you know, again, I don't know. It's okay. You know, nothing bad, nothing good. I don't know if I'll buy another one.
Is it worth $60?
What's that? That's usually $10 more than the silicone case. No, I'd buy the silicone case.
Okay. Yeah. It was $60.
Yeah.
Which was fine for leather.
Yeah.
But the fact that I think that's where it's getting a lot of flack too, is they didn't change the price of it. But it's not leather. And unlike leather, you know, when you get a mark on the leather one, you can usually rub those out, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, we were just talking about Pad and Quill and my leather messenger bag and things. You can get a cleaner or a polished kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, treatment for the leather, and then all that, it cleans up beautifully. It looks wonderful. And even if it does have some more permanent marks, it looks worn and used, you know, well worn rather than like a mess. You know what I mean? It almost looks...
It's just that almost rustic.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost like it's supposed to look that way.
No, I don't want to use that word patina. That's overused. But it looks like it should, right? Mm-hmm. But that's why I wasn't sure. I honestly was trying to get a new case. I got the new phone finally and love it. But the case I want to get was from Nomad. I have this orange one that was the action mm-hmm, orange mm-hmm. button color
right.
that I love. And I've kind of crammed the new phone into it. It doesn't fit perfectly, but it doesn't interfere with the buttons. It doesn't sink in as nice and neatly. It won't fall out, but it just feels a little different. So I know they make one now for it, but they're out of stock of the... at least of the blue and the orange that I want, either one I wanted to get. So I'm going to have to wait.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's why I looked at that, getting the fine woven, but all of that stuff just kind of scared me off of it. And I think another thing people are doing is they're looking at the fine woven in the store, and up on the display, people have like scratched at it to see what it's like. And they've like these poor display models just look like crap.
I will tell you, I did. I went into the store and looked, and you are 100% correct. The store display models are just not good. And because they're you know, hundreds of people are picking up a day, and some could have just come from having a sandwich or something. Right. And Apple, the store near me, they're not doing anything about it. They're just sitting up there, and they look like crap.
You should replace them, you know,
constantly.
But they don't. Yeah. Cause people, I'm sure, are going up there and abusing them more than they would their own case.
Yes.
To see how it feels, to see how it wears, or they're just looking at it going, ooh, no way.
Not getting another thing it did too, like in the silicone case, you know, you got the Apple logo on the back and inside the fine woven case, when you look inside, you can see the ring around where it sits on the MagSafe. Mm-hmm. On the back, you don't see it, but as it gets dirty and worn, the ring starts to show through. Ah. So that's something that's kind of a little odd.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm going to pass on that one, I think, for now.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Unless something comes out, it's really cool looking or cool design or something, maybe, but it's just nothing special at all.
Okay. And that's why I don't think I'm going to get a fine woven band either.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, I think that's going to get even more wear than the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bumping things with your wrist.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. So I honestly, though, I've not gone to the store. I've not seen them in person. I've not touched them. I don't know what they're like. I've just seen all this stuff online, and I think I'm not alone for people looking at that and saying, no, I think I'm going to get something different.
Right.
Anyway, what I like this week is a neat new product from a company called 12 South. And they make a number of little tech accessories for the MacBook, the iPhone, iPad, and the Apple Watch. And they make things like, you know, chargers and stands. They actually make that AirFly Bluetooth transmitter and a bunch of other things. Well, they came out with a product that as soon as I saw it, I couldn't resist. I had to buy it, of course. And I texted both of you about it when I did it. And the product is called Time Porter, P-O-R-T-E-R, Time Porter. And it's an interesting wall mount to display your Apple Watch bands. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a white bar that you can push any Apple Watch band into to display them vertically. So they hang from it. Mm-hmm. It kind of grips the lug adapter and it holds it in place and it's easy to pull it out. I mean, it's really well done for that part. I give them credit for that. They came up with a pretty easy system to work with. Mm-hmm. You can fit about 6 bands on one bar. They advertise 6, but I think I got 7 on one of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which, you know, of course, is not even close to being adequate.
I'm sure.
For my obsession with bands. So I ordered 4 of them.
Yeah.
And that's still not enough. It's a start.
Probably not even close.
Not enough. Okay. But what's cool is they include a little adapter piece that allows you to connect 2 of them together to make a longer one. So it's like one long continuous bar. Mm-hmm. So I now have 2 longer rows for my bands on my wall now. And it comes with adhesive strips. I think they're basically command strips to attach it to the wall. Very quick and simple to install. Each one comes packaged in what I was kind of shocked as to how nice the box was. I mean, each box was wrapped in parchment paper and a really cool finish on it. And I mean, they spent some money on this packaging. Anyway, it's kind of a surprise for what the device is. But it's a great way to organize your bands. In my case, I put a selection of my most used bands on it, which I'll probably shift out from time to time. But it makes it so easy to quickly switch them out. And each Time Porter is $29.99, so it's not cheap. But it's much cheaper and neater than like building your own system to display, which I've seen online. Some of them are like from 3D printers and stuff like that. Anyway, I love it, and I'm sure there'll be more of these in my future. There's still plenty of room on that wall and plenty more bands to organize. But I'll put a link in the show notes for it. But if you go to 12south.com, you'll find it there. And by the way, that's spelling out the word, by the way, not the number 12. So it's 12south.com.
Nice. Very, cool. Very nice. Very cool. I'll have to look, check those out. That sounds really neat.
Yeah, they're pretty. I was kind of impressed with how simple it is and how easy it makes it to do that. Now, I got a number of bands on there by hooking them together. In other words, I didn't put both. You know, if it's like a silicone band,
right?
I hooked it together and put it up as one instead of the two parts.
Yeah,
two parts
right.
being separate. Take
of
up
course.
Too much room.
Yeah. Too much room. Yeah. I wouldn't even think you would do this separate like that.
Well, they had photos of it that way, and I'm like, who would do that? I don't know that I would do that. But
exactly.
Anyway, yeah. Anyway, kind of what they call it is a valet for your watch bands. Kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely check that out, Tom.
Yep. All right. Anything else before we're disappointed when we try to double tap on something that isn't supported yet, but should be? Have you done that?
Oh, yeah. Get the little finger at the top like it's going to give you the finger or something.
Yeah, it just shakes. It's like, no, dice. Can't do that. Darn it. Not yet. All right. Yeah. Okay, well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, as I mentioned, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
Sorry. I just dropped something.
Okay, you're right.
Might want to mark that. That was my 32-ounce drink glass. It almost landed on my computer.